Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Dunn, and thanks for joining me here today on The Communication Architect. Each week, we'll share content that will empower you to grow your personal leadership capacity through the development of communication competencies that build emotional health and relational resilience. We'll unpack some practical applications of interpersonal, intrapersonal, family, and organizational communication. And we'll connect with stories of transformation that will inspire you to achieve personal and social change. Now, let's build the scaffolding you need to become a communication architect. What's happening in the state capital that has the potential to affect your family? Don't miss today's interview with Family Protection Ministries. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Lisa Dunn, a lifelong homeschooling parent, author, and president of Chula Vista Christian University, a four-year university that centers on mentor-driven, Bible-based, debt-free higher education. Visit us at cvcu.us to see how we are taking back education for the next generation. If you're new to the show, be sure to scroll back on my podcast for some tips on breaking free from the toxic traits of traditional education and establishing some habits that will reset your family and your organizational culture. Pastors, if you want to know more about how you can play a vital role in rescuing the outsourced generation, go to academicrescuemission.com and click the Start an Academy tab. We can have your homeschool campus running in 4 weeks anywhere in the United States. Reach out today because the harvest is ready. We have another visit day coming up at CVCU. You can RSVP on our website to experience our mentor-driven, Bible-based, debt-free model in person. Plus, enjoy Chick-fil-A lunch. Enjoy your bachelor's degree in political science, engineering, psychology, pre-med, education, business communication, and more. Get all the details at cvcu.us. And if you have K to 12th grade homeschoolers, be sure to check out our kids' summer camp and theater auditions for this year's production of Narnia. Get those monologues ready and RSVP for the audition at cvcu.us. Be sure to follow us on social media at Chula Vista U, Chula Vista Christian University. Well, I'm so excited to have with us on today's show, Nathan Pierce, who is the executive director for Family Protection Ministries. And when I think about what Nathan does every day, I marvel at his work because he really sees the dark underbelly of the state system day after day. He sees the bills coming through, the attacks on family, the attacks on faith, and yet he is still so full of hope for the future of our state and the families of our state. And Nathan is fighting to protect families on every turn. We're going to hear more about him and his work at FPM on today's show. Welcome, Nathan.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're so excited to hear more. Well, tell us a little bit about you first, Nathan. You've been a homeschooler like me a long time. You're younger than me, but you have still been doing it a long time. Tell me a little bit about your family's journey and what inspired you to start homeschooling and stay in the game.
Sure. Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, I've been involved in homeschooling for a long time, and as long as I can remember, because some of my earliest memories are going to Park Day with my family as I was growing up. In fact, in the San Diego area.
Love it.
My parents helped start a homeschool support group in Poway.
That's right.
And we really enjoyed getting together with other friends that were also homeschooling. And my parents obviously were very passionate about it and were involved in the fight to keep homeschooling free and legal and promote that in their community back in the 80s. But I'm really grateful for the education that I got. And so their passion for a Christ-centered education and making sure that all of education was based on God's truth and that God is the center of the universe, not man is the center of the universe, really, really filtered through to every area of education. And I really appreciated that. I learned from that. And that was what gave me the passion to continue on with that as I left high school, because I was homeschooled K through 12, and then went to college, met my wife in college in 2002 at the Master's University. We both had been homeschooled. So my wife was homeschooled as well. And we were both, even when we met, we knew we both wanted to have that kind of education and learning environment in our home for our family before we even started talking about our relationship. That was something we both knew about. We kind of connected over that issue. And we connected in a music class. We met in the handbell choir, actually. She was a math major. I was political studies. But as we got to know each other, we started formulating our own philosophy of education before we were even engaged. So we kind of had that as a foundation for our whole marriage. And as we have continued on, you know, we have 8 children now over the last almost this year is 20 years of marriage for us.
We're
excited that we're still able to homeschool in the state of California. Yeah. And as you know, we have a lot of educational options in California. We have a lot of different ways to educate, even with the different types of schooling options that there are. There's kind of a range of how those options are even implemented throughout the state. But still to this day, the option to privately homeschool in California is still the most flexible and free option, specifically to give our kids a Christ-centered education. And that's what we want for our kids. And so every time we look at the other options, every time we hear from a friend that, hey, we get certain amount of money for computers or books or horseback riding or whatever it might be, we keep coming back to, well, what are the options? What is our goal for our family right. and our children? And right. we want our kids to know God.
That's right.
That is the number one most important thing for us. And so that's what we keep coming back to. And that's why we keep going on in this thing.
That's right. So that's right.
It takes a lot of energy, but that's why we're there.
So powerful. I love that your parents were, they were pioneers in the Michael Ferris era. That's just yes, amazing. Yes. I had forgotten about CFS, that they founded that in North County. That's just so awesome. And we pray the same thing for our kids. Obviously, we homeschooled kindergarten to college too. And that they're after the lovers of Jesus, that their spouse would be lifelong homeschoolers. And it's, just, you know, because it shapes so much about your identity, your sense of self, your worldview, your love of learning. I mean, all really who we are is so shaped by that culture. And so I love hearing that. And the conversation you just brought up, we talk about on the show all the time. It's so important that we establish that mission. If our mission is to train up children in the biblical way, in the way they should go, then we are not going to take state funding for that, because literally, obviously, we're prohibited from teaching from a sectarian perspective. I'm not going to teach Jesus is equal to Buddha to homeschool. No, thank you. So you have right. you've been obviously, you're a second generation homeschooler, Nathan, which is just so cool. I love hearing those testimonies of students of parents who grew up in the model and understand how it's going to shape. It is the panacea. It will shape our culture if we get families out of the toxic traits of traditional education and into homeschooling. What's maybe one or two ways that you see homeschooling has shaped your family? It's not just about our kids, is it? It shapes us.
Right, right. And sometimes I think that homeschool parents are the ones that learn the most in homeschooling.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much, even as I look back on what my mom talks about learning, you know, when she was teaching us about government, for example, things that she either learned and had to unlearn, or things that she didn't learn at all about government or history, things that I was able to learn and learn along with my parents. And now I am able to pass on to my children as I am able to. One of my passions is research. And so mm-hmm. I like doing both teaching library research mm-hmm. to students, as well as helping people track things down and leave no stone unturned. Mm-hmm. And so when I teach my kids about this, I can constantly be learning new things. And I'm always surprised at how God brings these moments, these teachable mm-hmm. moments, both for myself to learn things and also my kids to learn things, and for all of us to learn them together in a place where each kid and parent can learn things at where we're at. You know, and we might learn different things from the same scenario,
yeah.
but God has things for each of us in every topic that we're studying. So if we're studying astronomy and we're watching a video about NASA, the NASA space program, and my youngest kid at 2 is going to be so thrilled about certain aspects of that and, right. and playing with toys to demonstrate their interest
right.
About the same thing, that we can be talking about how God created the universe and be talking about this at different levels. But I am so encouraged and I guess enriched by by just seeing my kids learning and also myself being reminded of and learning new things about how great the universe is, because there's no end to it. So there's no end to any of our learning, right?
Right.
So it's so exciting for me to be able to learn these things along with my kids and then push them beyond what they're comfortable with so that they can learn new things and learn how to learn, really, because God loves it when we learn more about what he's created, because then he gets to show off his glory to us. And that's just such an amazing thing.
I love that you have, just your vantage point of having two generations of that. You know, rare is it in society where we see that generational connectedness that we read about in Titus and Timothy. We see segregation, we see homeschooling unifies us rather than segregates us. Every area of society is chopping, the sectors up. And that was such a perfect example of how it unifies us and God teaches us at our own levels through those thematic studies. That's fantastic. We've had a few curricular providers on the show, homeschool curricular providers. I know there are some tremendous ones out there. We've had our own personal favorites, but what's something that you guys, are you more piecemeal, or did you have one specific curriculum that you worked with most of your life, or how did you guys choose and what do you like about it?
Yeah, we have a bit of everything. Mm-hmm. We love Andrew Pujol's writing curriculum.
Of course.
Our kids love that. In fact, my daughter loves help tutoring kids in writing now. My oldest daughter, who's about to graduate high school, she's now working for me.
And that's great.
She helps me with writing, and I'm really grateful for Andrew's writing curriculum because of how it's helping me today. But we use that for writing. We kind of are all over the place, but I actually like Bob Jones' curriculum for a lot of things, particularly for government and economics. I teach a class for that locally, and I really enjoy some of the biblical-based curriculums. So I really have appreciated that. I've used some of Becca over the years, as well as just sort of a smattering of other things. We've used Math UC for math, as well as Saxon. Mm-hmm. Some of my kids are actually using the same math books that I used from back in the 80s. But my wife loves teaching math. She was a math major, so she loves that. So we have sort of a collection of a range of math materials at our house. So
wow, phenomenal. Nathan, tell us a little bit about the work you're doing in Sacramento and a little of the history of FPM.
Sure. So FPM was started back in 1986 to specifically protect the right of parents to homeschool in California without government interference. And it was launched by Homeschool Legal Defense Association, by Mike Smith, who had been previously working on legislation here in Sacramento, and the folks leading over at CHEA of California.
Right.
And it was launched in 86 because it was concerning how liberal some of the legislators were at that time. Now, we might look today back at that and think, wow, really? but in fact, there was a bill written in 86 to ban homeschooling. Oh. In fact, to ban small private schools, anything smaller than 10 students. So it was something that was concerning back then. That bill in 86 obviously was actually pulled before it even got a vote. That was due to a lot of behind the scenes work by the founder of FPM, Roy Hansen. And there have been a number of battles over the years that are really big, but most of the battles that we have fought over the years dealing with homeschooling and parental rights haven't actually made it to the public because we do so much of our work behind the scenes. Right now, we have a couple of bills that we're working on, as we do every year, that we've already gotten some amendments on. For example, we have a couple of mandatory kindergarten bills right now active in the legislature that have our language to exempt private schools, including private homeschooling, from those new requirements. So those are kind of some things that we've gotten involved in. Some other bills over the years that we've dealt with deal with anything from parents' rights to mandatory government-regulated psych evaluations, and then things like different requirements or restrictions on homeschooling specifically, or other controls on parents raising their own children. Medical freedom issues have been a thing that has come in from time to time. And a lot of that comes back down to what are the core issues behind the right to homeschool. And those two basic principles are religious freedom and parental rights. So when we look at religious freedom and parental rights, those are the two foundational issues that lead to what the Supreme Court says is the basis for the reasoning why homeschooling is constitutionally protected. Mm. Less and less we have seen our California state legislature care about the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
It is still a thing, just to be reminding you. We do still have a U.S. Constitution. it isn't gone. I know sometimes it feels like it is here in California, but yeah. We do have that. And we're supposed to follow it, although, you know, not always.
Right.
We see that happen, but we do have a lot of legislation in California that does seem to contradict that. And we constantly are having to fight for basic principles of freedom for families. In California last year, we saw some issues related to transgender freedoms, I guess you could say, the right of children to make their own decisions about transitional medical care, both surgeries and medications.
Crazy.
And having kids be able to access that. And if you think about that and you think, well, what does that have to do with homeschooling? It comes back to that principle of what's the foundational principle that homeschool freedoms rest on. And one of those is parental rights. So when you look at parental rights and the family structure, essentially, that includes, you know, parents and their children and the relationship between parents and their children, that has to be strong in order for there to be a good foundation for society. The family unit is so essential to the survival of our society and the survival of relationships, both in the family and in the opportunity for education to carry forward from generation to generation. We have to maintain the family structure. And when you take that, do you take away from that family structure? You take away from the relationship between children and their parents and have that communication about things like gender identity or communication about addiction issues or education issues. Right. And you shift that conversation to a government controlled agency or government controlled school. And the authority structure that's there, that completely undermines that whole family structure. Right. And we need to be bringing that back to the home, not away from the home. Right. And so some of these bills that we're dealing with now and have seen an increase in over the last few years really undermines that relationship of children with parents at home, where really these conversations need to be happening more, not less.
Right.
And so I think that's something that we're going to be seeing more of. We already have, you know, that bill that I mentioned, 2998, is a bill that deals with addiction issues and trying to shift that conversation more, even for 12-year-old kids. So 12-year-old kids with their right to access both medications and other treatments for alcohol and for opioid abuse. This is a problem in our state. But taking those conversations away from the home and to the government schools is not the direction to take those conversations. We need to keep those at home, and we need to be encouraging them at home, not just limiting them to the schools and encouraging kids to take those conversations out of their homes.
Parents matter. Parents are the answer. It's the government control again and again and again is to sever that connective tie between parent and child. We see it across the board in so many entities, and that's mandatory kindergarten. That's a whole other cradle to grave control for the state. So we want to see families set free, leading their children, that our children belong to families, not to the state. What, tell us a little bit about Capital Day. We didn't talk about that at the beginning of the show. Why should families attend?
So Capital Day is where we take a group of homeschool families and bring them to the state capitol so that they can see not only how the government works, but so the opposite, so that the legislature can see how homeschooling works. And it's really important for homeschoolers to be able to see how their government works. And it really gives them insight into how they can have an impact on legislators and their staff and make a difference in what's happening in Sacramento. But also it helps legislators, and this is one of the parts that I really love, is it helps legislators see real life homeschool families. And because homeschool families are really, really the best advocates for homeschool freedoms. And having those families, both parents and students, together in a legislator's office can have a huge impact on their understanding of how homeschool families can be normal and they're not crazy and they can contribute to society just like anyone else. But they're usually extremely impressed by these families. And so it's really helpful for us, for my work, to have this engagement between homeschool families and legislators and their staff, because it gives them a connection besides me, but it also gives them a real connection with homeschool families that they wouldn't ever have an opportunity to build. And so it's something that really makes a huge difference in the fight for freedom, but it's also very educational for the homeschool families.
So powerful. For anybody who's on the show right now listening in and thinking, do I have what it takes to break free from the system and homeschool my kids? What are some words of wisdom or recommended first steps that you'd give as a second generational homeschooler?
Yeah, absolutely. The number one thing that I think is really critical is to sit down and think about what your goals are for your kids. And if you decide that, you know, homeschooling will provide for those goals better than any other option, it helps to write those things down. What are your goals? Because when you come back to it, that's what my wife and I do, is we come back to what's our main focus. What is our main goal for our children? My dad always said, growing up, and he still does today, say, you know, if my kids get into Harvard, but they flunk heaven, what's the point? What was the point of all that?
So good.
So I really have appreciated that. And if you have written down, what are your goals for your kids? And if that's at the top, you want to use the best option to achieve that. And if God's calling you to homeschool, he'll help you to see that. The second thing is to make sure that you're connected with a community, because it's not a good idea to try doing this on your own. You need encouragement. God made us as social beings, and he made us as people and told us the one another's, right? We need to be helping and encouraging one another in this raising of our children together with other like-minded people. So find a community that you can be a part of, that you can give to, and that you can have to be there for you when you need that encouragement.
Fantastic. Where can our listeners learn more about your work at FPM, and how can we best support you, Nathan?
Wonderful. Yes, Family Protection Ministries is on our website, fpmca.org, fpmca.org. We have, there's three things. You can donate to our ministry. We're a nonprofit, and we appreciate that. But the most important thing is to pray for our organization. As you can imagine, here in Sacramento, we're under attack all the time. And it's a heavy weight to carry just being in the building. And so we would really appreciate your prayers for us, that we would have wisdom in knowing how to best spend our time, being able to find legislation that's bad so that we know then we can figure out what to do with it next. But then also to engage with us. So that means make sure that you're on our email list, following us on social media, so that you can be aware of the battles that we're dealing with and know when we need you to make a phone call. But you can't know those things if you're not connected with us. So connect with us on fpmca.org. We have a bill tracker that helps you be up to speed on what bills we're dealing with and what action items. We have a podcast that's weekly, The Frontline, that you can connect with there and listen to and be up to speed on what's going on and learn a little bit about the political system here in Sacramento. And you can also donate on our website as well. But keep us in your prayers. We appreciate that.
Wow, Nathan, thank you so much. Thank you for being with us today. And thank you. We're just so grateful that you're willing to swim in that legislative sewer to protect our families, and that, again, you still carry the spirit of hope. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Nathan.
Absolutely. And one thing I forgot about was that we'll be having more information on this later, but we do have an event coming up down in the San Diego area to educate people that are interested in getting more involved in advocacy, whether it's for homeschooling, parental rights, or anything. We will have our Homeschool Freedom Day in San Diego on the 24th. The 23rd is also sort of a leadership conference that's going to be down there in the same time. But August 24th is our Homeschool Freedom Day, and we will have speakers coming to really inspire and encourage you to how to get involved, how you can personally make a difference.
Fantastic. Let's take San Diego. If you're new to the show or if you're homeschooling for the first time, scroll back through my podcast for more episodes and tips of the trade. And be sure to check out what we're accomplishing in and through our partnerships with parents and the local church through across the nation at cvcu.us. Our system will help you sever the ties from woke systems that are bent on undermining your family values. And pastors, remember to start click the Start in Academy tab at Academic Rescue Mission so you can take back education for your families as well. Check out my new book, Outsourced, at outsourcethebook.com. Again, I'm Dr. Lisa Dunn. Thanks for joining me on today's show, and I'll be back next week with more toxic trade analyses and what you can do to break free from the system. We'll see you then. Thanks again for joining us here on The Communication Architect. If you have questions about today's episode, or if there are topics you'd like to see us address, send your comments via Instagram to at Dr. Lisa Dunn or via email to contact@drlisadunn.com. That's drlisadunne.com. And remember, strategic communication will help you build greater emotional health and relational resilience. So don't miss the next episode. I'm Dr. Lisa Dunn, and I look forward to talking with you next time right here on The Communication Architect.